possible, she whispered. It's one of a kind, Mira said, devised by a team of grand shapers. It performs complicated time shifting, Violet added. His physical characteristics will go back in time while he remains in the present.
You're serious, Elegant said,
seemingly not wanting to hope in vain.
It's our understanding, Mira said. Can we try it?
Elegance gave a quick nod.
Of course, this way.
She led them into a sumptuous bedroom, where the old man rested on a large bed, propped up by a semicircle of pillows.
Elegance, he asked, is everything all right?
It's Miracle and her friends again, Elegance said. Very little is all right. They want your help. They have a potion that could restore your youth.
Nonsense, Rogan said.
It's unique, Mira said, made by a group of grand shapers.
And they wish to test it on me, Rogan asked.
It was given to us to use on whoever we want, Mira said. It will mean you can never leave Creon.
I have no travel plans, Rogan said. How is this possible?
Unprecedented time shifting, Violet said. It will supposedly give you the body of yesteryear today.
Last year I didn't look much better than right now, Rogan said. A decade ago, either.
We're up against the end of the world, Mira said. The king and queen have been abducted, two of my sisters as well, and Romaro returns tomorrow. We need help.
Give me the drink, Rogan said.
Mira tugged at the stopper and couldn't get it off. Elegance took the flask from her, gripped it tightly, and yanked it open. She handed the flask to her husband. Rogan took a probative sip.
Not foul.
He drained the flask. The transformation was so sudden that Cole wondered if he had missed it with a blink. A young man, still holding the flask, looked in astonishment at his hands. He threw aside the sheets and swung his legs out of the bed. A couple of pillows fell to the floor as he stood up.
I remember what this felt like, Brogan said, in a voice that was similar, but fuller and firmer. I remember like it was yesterday, as if the rest has been a bad dream.
He wasn't just young. He was tall, and his shoulders were broad and strong. His strained nightshirt had clearly been tailored for a frailer man. He clenched a fist, and veins stood out on his solid forearm.
Look at you, Elegance said.
How cruel if this is temporary, Brogan said. How long is it supposed to last?
A lifetime, Mira said. As long as you don't leave Creon, you should age normally.
Elegance, do you think you could find me more suitable attire?
Brogan asked. Her eyes wandered up and down his new physique.
It's late. Give me a few minutes.
Elegance ushered the kids out of the room, ordered Ethel to see to their needs, and then rushed away. Jace asked for a sandwich. Cole followed his example. Mira inquired about a restroom, and Violet seconded the request.
That worked quickly, Jace said, after Ethel led the girls away. I wonder if your potion worked just as well.
I hope so, Cole said. It would be nice to have two shots at this.
Don't count on it, Jace said.
You know, Cole said, this might be the perfect time to tell Mira how you feel about her.
Lower your voice,
Jace said, looking around worriedly.
I'm just saying none of this might really be happening, Cole said. Not permanently. I could let you know what she says when I get back. You could know without actually asking. And what if this is real? Jace asked. Not just a preview.
You'll still know, Cole said. Jace shook his head.
It's stupid. It doesn't matter.
It matters to you, Cole pressed. Way too much to risk ruining it, Jace said.
I know she can't love me. I know we're too young. I know she's a princess, and I'm a former slave. If I don't say anything, I can stay close. I can protect her and help her. She knows I care. She can see that. It's enough.
What if she feels the same way? Cole asked. Jace shook his head again.
Don't be thick. No way.
But what if?
If she loves me like that, it'll come out.
Will it? You talk about dying bravely. What about living bravely?
Jace glared at Cole. Are you giving me bravery lessons?
Maybe, when it comes to Mira.
I'm brave enough.
Brogan opened the door and emerged wearing a robe. It must have been big on him before because it fit reasonably well, though probably a bit clingier than intended. He held a sword with a polished blade and gilded designs on the hilt.
Elegance went hunting for clothes? Brogan asked.
Yeah, Cole said.
The others?
Brogan asked.
Ethel is making sandwiches, Jace said.
The girls needed the restroom, Cole said. Brogan swished the sword through the air.
You can't imagine how good this feels.
Cool sword, Cole said.
It belonged to my father, Brogan said. It never collected dust. We kept it in a place of honor, but I have not held it in decades.
The blade hissed through the air.
In my later years, I lamented that I knew more than ever, but my body was beginning to fail. And then I became an invalid, a dormant repository of combat ability.
You don't feel rusty? Cole asked.
It's a little strange, Brogan said,
shifting from side to side.
But rusty? No. I feel more myself than I have in ages. There may be a few kinks to work out.
He tossed the sword in the air, let it spin twice, and deftly caught it by the hilt.
Not many.
Elegance entered with a bundle of clothes.
Brogan, don't parade around in that robe. And with your sword, where is Miracle?
The comment made Cole notice how the robe hung open at his chest, and his bare legs extended below the hemline. It wasn't exactly how somebody would normally dress to impress a princess.
Sorry, Ella, Brogan said.
You found better attire?
Elegance thrust the bundle of clothes at him.
Go make yourself decent. We have company.
Brogan retreated. Miracle returned with Violet.
Success? Miracle asked. He has clothes now, Elegance said.
And his sword,
Jace added. Ethel entered with sandwiches for Cole and Jace.
You're not hungry?
Elegance asked Miracle.
We had oranges, Miracle replied.
You have oranges?
Jace exclaimed.
Coming right away,
Ethel said, leaving the room. Brogan emerged again just after the oranges arrived. He looked dapper in a shirt, a vest, trousers, and boots. His sword hung sheathed over his shoulder.
I need armor, he said.
Are we charging into battle? Elegance asked.
Soon as we know where to charge,
Brogan replied.
I like this guy. Jace murmured. Is battle the only option?
Elegance asked.
How sure is your information?
Brogan inquired.
We got it from Lorenzo de Bray and Kendo Vertan, Mira said. Lorenzo gave us the potion, too.
Romaro the Torvor will gain freedom tomorrow, Brogan said.
Within the day, Miracle confirmed. We have rings that will notify us when he is about to get loose. Violet will take us to the far north cache, where we'll face him.
What hope have we of success?
Brogan asked.
Cole's power, Mira said. He can energize the power of others to work in any kingdom, and he can directly alter powers.
Brogan fixed his gaze on Cole.
How confident are you?
It's a Torvor, Cole said. I'll try not to fail.
You'll need all the help you can get.
Brogan said.
And we'll probably fail.
He turned to Mira.
What about your mother and sister? Any leads?
We're almost sure it was Owendell, Mira said. The host suspects that Governor Vass might know something.
Vass is certainly controlled by Owendell, Brogan said. It would be a place to start.
We think Owendell is working with Wayminders,
Mira said.
Another potential Arthur Vass connection, Brogan said. And the world ends tomorrow?
Unless we stop it, Cole said.
Who of you can fight?
Brogan asked.
Jace, Mira said. His golden rope is from Sambria. When Cole charges it, he's really dangerous.
Show me, Brogan said.
Jace held out the golden strand, and Cole touched it, pushing power into it. The rope shot out and picked up a chair.
Quick, Brogan said, raising his fists. I'm going to kill you now.
The other end of the rope shot out, bound Brogan's ankles together, and hauled him into the air upside down. Elegance gasped.
If I believed you, I'd slam you into the wall, Jace said. And I'd be trying to slash the rope, Brogan said. Please, set me down.
Jace carefully laid Brogan on the floor, set down the chair, and retracted the rope. Brogan hopped to his feet. Cole drew his sword.
I have a jumping sword, he said. A what?
Brogan replied.
I'm not familiar.
He can make big jumps with it, Mira said. I have one too. And with Cole's help, Violet can open as many wayports as she likes.
Brogan raised his eyebrows.
Very useful. No limits.
We haven't found any, Violet said.
So without Cole, you all lose your advantages, Brogan said. You need to touch the item and people you're energizing.
Yes, Cole said. To start the connection, then I don't need contact.
You can't initiate the connection without touch?
So far, I'm working on it.
How many people can you support at a time?
Brogan asked. At least 5, Cole said. Probably more. Maybe a lot more.
How long before you get exhausted?
Brogan asked. I haven't found those limits, Cole said. Brogan whistled.
Not bad. Incredible. Really. Do any of you have authority from the king?
Cole produced the medallion.
You speak for him?
Brogan asked in astonishment.
He authorized me not long ago, Cole said. I'm not sure if there was an official announcement, and we were implicated in his disappearance.
The seal could provide leverage with the governor, Brogan said.
I feel like people don't believe me sometimes when I use it, Cole said.
Your position has not been publicized?
Brogan asked.
I don't think so, Cole said.
It barely happened.
What about your power?
Brogan asked.
Your abilities should command great renown.
Not too many people know about me yet, Cole said. I'm just learning how to use my power. The enforcers are catching on.
We're going to the governor's mansion, Brogan said. I'll need Jace, Cole, and Violet.
What about me? Mira asked.
We'll be in his bedchamber, Brogan said. In those close confines, your jumping sword will be largely irrelevant. You have too much strategic value to be risked on this. Stay with Elegance. We won't be long.
Mira looked like she wanted to protest, but gave a little nod.
May I borrow the seal, Cole? Brogan asked. We need to bluff this governor. He's smart and tough, but no hero. I think we can get what we need.
Sure, Cole said, taking off the medallion and handing it over.
You want me to take us to his room?
Violet asked.
It's almost certainly how Owendell took the queen, Brogan said.
Not just into a building, Violet fretted. Not even just into the governor's mansion, into his bedroom. I could be more than exiled. I could be executed.
You could be formally executed, Brogan said. Or simply killed by the guards with the rest of us. These are desperate times. Our foes are reckless and about to win. They have broken rules. We must break them, too.
Violet nodded.
Understood. I know the mansion. I'm not sure how to locate his bedroom.
Do you know the courtyard with the square fountain?
Brogan asked.
Yes,
Violet said.
The largest, highest balcony on the east side belongs to his bedchamber,
Brogan said.
The room will be shielded. Have you bypassed shielding before?
Not yet, Violet said. With enough power, I should be able to manage.
There are some wayminders here at the Iron Fort who could probably do it, Brogan said. I completely trust none of them,
and am unsure who would be willing.
Cole?
Violet asked, holding out a hand.
You're going now?
Elegance asked.
Let me feel it out first, Violet said.
Can you travel there from here?
Mira asked. There are too many protections on the iron fort for me to open a wayport to the outside from the inside, Violet said. But I should be able to feel out possible destinations.
Cole took her hand and steadily energized her power.
I see the mansion,
Violet narrated, eyes closed.
I see the balcony.
Yes, the bedroom is heavily shielded. I don't know if I can push through. I could try. I bet it would raise alarms.
What about the balcony? Grogan asked.
Shielded too, Violet said. Not as heavily. Probably anywhere we go will raise alarms.
She released Cole's hand. He took it as a signal to let the connection drop.
We want to get in and out quickly, Grogan said. There will be guards. We should take Vast to someplace he won't expect.
He's a wayminder? Cole asked.
Yes, Grogan said, and he has guards who will try to rescue him.
Can we use one of Lorenzo's hideouts?
Jace asked.
We shouldn't without permission, Violet said, and we can't come back here.
Grogan shook his head.
No location in Creon is as impenetrable as this fort, but the host won't want involvement with kidnapping the governor, no matter the reason. Elegance and I have access to a conduit that will take us to the tent in the desert, bypassing security protocols. You can use it with us to get out at our convenience, but we can't come back in with Vass.
I can use Cole to our advantage, Violet said.
We'll escape through three wayports. They might trace the first, but I don't know anybody who could follow three jumps. I'll finish at an isolated spot in the wilderness, a high ridgetop. I used to go there to get away and think.
That should work, Brogan said. You want to try for the balcony rather than the room?
The room is too heavily shielded, Violet said. Even if I can break through, it will take time. They will have a long warning.
There are glass doors from the balcony into the bedchamber, Brogan said.
I noticed them, Violet confirmed. How do you know?
I remember, Brogan said.
We'll want to smash them immediately. Then cover the door to the bedroom with a wayport, so no regular guards can get in. Make them open a wayport beyond it if they want access.
Clever, Violet said. Use a wayport as a shield.
I'll grab Vass, Brogan said. Violet, once we're in, you open a way out. Jace, cover us with your rope. Cole, keep the sword handy, but your main task is to keep everyone charged up. Feeling good?
The plan makes sense, Violet said.
Brogan placed a hand on Jace's shoulder.
Bring something heavy with that rope to smash the doors.
Brogan scanned the room.
That end table is made of stone.
Elegance pouted.
I love that piece.
Brogan raised an eyebrow. Elegance waved her hands dismissively.
I know, it's an emergency. No time. I remember this side of you.
Brogan grinned.
A little like old times.
The old times were scary,
Elegance said.
At least scary isn't tedious,
Brogan said.
Have I been tedious?
Elegance asked.
You have been wonderful, Brogan clarified. Old age is tedious.
Do you want armor?
Elegance asked.
Not for this, Brogan said. I'll want some later.
He nodded at Cole.
Do your thing.
The rope is still energized, Cole told Jace. As the rope extended and curled around the solid stone table, Brogan asked Ethel to open a wayport to the desert tent. The wayport appeared a moment later. They all went through and gathered on the chilly sand beneath cold stars. Elegance pulled Brogan close and whispered into his ear. Mira gave Cole a hug.
Take care, she said.
Cole touched Violet and reestablished their connection. Violet squinted her eyes shut. Cole felt her drawing a lot of energy and fed her plenty. She trembled and growled a little, and a wayport opened.
Chapter 24 Governor
"Hurry after me," Brogan said. "Jace, next!"
He lunged through the portal, sword ready. Then Jace ducked in, trailed by his rope and the table. Mira looked disappointed to be left behind. Cole gave her a wave, energized his jumping sword, and went through in time to see Jace bash a pair of elegant doors into splinters and shards. Making sure he kept power to the rope, his sword, and Violet, Cole followed Brogan and Jace into a spacious bedroom, fragments of wood and glass crunching underfoot. Violet followed closely. A portly man in a white nightcap and long white sleepwear was fumbling out of bed. Brogan charged the man, seized him by the neck, and held his sword threateningly.
"Not a sound," Brogan warned.
"I believe your manner of entry will suffice to raise the alarm," the man said.
Cole thought his voice stayed surprisingly steady given the circumstances. A shimmering wayport appeared in front of the doorway into the bedroom, blocking entry. Another trembling disturbance took shape in the middle of the room. A third wayport formed by the tall clock in the corner, and a man with leather armor visible beneath the wayminder robe stumbled out. Jace hit the newcomer hard enough with a stone table that he flew back through the wayport without touching the ground.
"Call them off, Vass," Brogan warned.
The governor widened his eyes and shook his head. Brogan squeezed his neck.
"No," Vass croaked. "Slay me if you must."
Cole heard shouting from behind the door blocked by the wayport. Apparently the guards were frustrated. Two other wayports appeared, one near the bed, the other just inside the door to the balcony. Another wayport opened right in front of the wayport by the bed, allowing no space for a person to emerge. Cole realized Violet was probably covering it. An armored guard raced from the wayport by the clock. Jace brought the stone table down on top of the guard with a clangorous crunch. Another guard came through behind him, and the free end of the golden rope wrapped around his waist, slung him brusquely against the ceiling, then slammed him to the floor. Brogan dragged the governor to the wayport in the center of the room.
"This one?" Brogan asked Violet.
"Yes," she confirmed. Brogan hurled the governor through as a guard emerged from the wayport by the balcony.
"Go!"
Brogan urged, rushing to intercept the guard. He dodged a swing from the guard's sword and cut him down with a single stroke. More guards came pouring from the wayport by the balcony. Cole aimed his jumping sword at the wayport in the center of the room.
"Away!"
he cried, leaping forward and soaring low and quick through the wayport. He emerged with a stumble onto a brushy prairie he had never seen before, the shadowy surroundings barely perceivable on the moonless night. The wayport and the stars shed enough light to see that Vass stood perhaps 20 feet away in a crouched pose. A glimmering wayport opened before him.
"Away!"
Cole shouted, streaking forward and lowering his shoulder before plowing into the governor. Cole spun to the ground, and the governor went down too. Hopping to his feet, Cole blocked access to the wayport.
"Out of my way!"
Vass snapped, lunging forward, one arm raised. Cole stood his ground and slashed the outstretched arm. The governor cried out and recoiled.
"Stay down," Cole yelled.
From his knees, Vass dove at Cole's legs and wrapped both arms around them. Cole fell back hard, losing hold of his jumping sword. Ignoring Cole, Vass scrambled for the wayport he had opened, only to have a golden rope lasso him and yank him to the dirt. Brogan and Violet came through the wayport where Jace stood, and it closed, making the night a tad darker.
"Quick, Violet,"
Brogan said, racing forward, sword in hand.
"Another gateway."
Cole's power remained connected to Jace's rope, his own sword, and Violet's power. As Cole grabbed his sword and stood up, a new wayport shimmered into existence.
"Send him through," Brogan instructed.
Using his rope, Jace forced Vass through the wayport and followed. Cole saw a new wayport open not far off. An armored guard rushed out.
"Go!"
Brogan urged. The guard ran toward them, but Cole hurried through the wayport. Brogan sprang through right after, with Violet at his heels, and the wayport disappeared. They stood atop a dark hill, unseen clouds hiding most of the stars.
"Again,"
Brogan said. A new wayport appeared.
"How is she doing this?"
Vass asked. Jace pushed Vass through with the rope. The others followed. Cole emerged on a rocky ridgetop. Stars were visible again, though not as strikingly abundant as in the desert. The wayport closed.
"Now we're alone," Brogan said. "You'll hang for this," Vass threatened.
"Be more concerned about your own neck," Brogan said.
"You have broken every stop,"
Brogan said in a hard tone. He knelt beside Vass and seized the front of his nightshirt.
"We don't have time to waste. I want to know where Owendell has stashed the king and queen."
"I have no idea what you are..."
Brogan shook him sharply.
"Then you are in enormous trouble, because I believe you do. You are on the wrong side of this, Vass, and it is going to cost you. You're in collusion with an enemy of the monarchy. I am here on behalf of the crown to rescue the High King, his consort, and two of his daughters. They were taken by Owendell using wayminders. I am happy to employ any means necessary."
"You are speaking nonsense," Vass accused.
"Cole, tell me about his power,"
Brogan said. Cole reached down in the dimness and took the governor's soft, plump hand. He could feel the darkness entwined with his considerable power. "He's been shapecrafted."
"I would love some light," Brogan said.
He backed away from Vass, took a small oil lamp from a pouch at his waist, clicked an igniter that shed sparks until the wick lit, then set the lamp near Vass. Blood drenched the formerly white sleeve of the governor's nightshirt, where Cole had sliced him. Elsewhere, the smooth fabric had been torn or stained with dirt. The governor's face was flushed and sweaty as he lay there panting. He sneered.
"Don't pretend to know anything about my power."
"Show him what you can do to his power," Brogan said.
Cole remembered when Morgasa had mangled his power, destroying his ability to use it just as he was first discovering how. He recalled how violated he felt to have those intangible elements within himself corrupted, how exhausted and wounded the ordeal had left him, and how baffled he was to lose touch with the innate abilities he had just begun to understand. He also remembered plunging into the slipstream in the Echolands, denying the nearly irresistible summons of the home song as impurities were scoured from his power, hurricane currents howling around and through him, eventually healing his ability. Cole knew he had the capacity to mangle the governor's power. He had already done it to an enforcer in the heat of combat. But could he do it to a captive? Could he do it calmly and deliberately? They needed the location of the king and queen. If this man collaborated with Owendell, he was an enemy. He was not innocent. He was conspiring to destroy the world. Cole didn't want to maim the man's power, no matter how good the reason. He could heal it, though. Exerting his energy, Cole burned away the impurities from the governor's shaping power. Vass squirmed.
"Hold still,"
Brogan demanded. When Cole finished, he released the governor's hand.
"What have you done?"
Vass panted. He looked haggard. "I undid the shapecrafting," Cole said.
"You can't just..."
Vass began. Then he closed his eyes, breathing slowly. He coughed.
"You're telling the truth."
"Yes," Cole said. "And you're helping to end the world."
"Change the world,"
Vass corrected, opening his eyes.
"Not end it."
"You're handing it over to a being we can't trust," Brogan said.
"The shapecrafting increased my vitality," Vass said, sagging back to lay flat. "I feel the absence, and I also feel better inside. I had forgotten how it felt."
"They twisted up your power," Cole said. "They injured it. I fixed it."
"He can damage it," Brogan warned. "Leave it in tatters."
"I believe it," Vass said.
He raised his head enough to look at Cole. The effort made him tremble.
"Will you?"
I don't want to, Cole said. We need your information.
I don't have it, Vass said. Why would Owendell tell me?
The Wayminders who aided him were your people, Brogan said. Big events are happening in Creon. Owendell would have come to you. You're playing too dumb to be telling the truth.
You want to talk dumb? Vass asked. What fool would stand against Owendell when his victory is imminent? Find the king, don't find the king, does it matter? This is not going to be the same world in a matter of days.
If it doesn't matter, tell us, Brogan said.
And cross Owendell?
Vass asked with a tired chuckle.
Now!
You're scared of Owendell? Cole asked. He'll be as much a puppet as the rest of us. That's one theory, Vass said flatly.
Shred his power, Cole, Brogan said. Let's see if that softens him up.
If you would wound my power, how are you any better than the worst of them? Vass asked.
Owendell stripped 5 young girls of their powers, Brogan said through gritted teeth. Against their will, halting their development and sending them into hiding, one of those girls became my wife.
Vass pushed himself up onto one elbow and looked at Brogan.
Wait, that's not possible.
I'm Brogan Holt.
Vass scowled in confusion.
You should be ancient.
I'm not, Brogan said. And I'm going to recover my royal sisters and their parents, whatever it takes. Cole?
Vass glanced at Cole.
I wouldn't. Owendell could appear at any moment.
I'd welcome it, Brogan said.
Owendell ran away the last time he met Cole, Jace asserted.
I'm so sorry,
Cole said, reaching for the governor's hand, unsure whether the gesture was a bluff and uncertain how much damage he might be willing to inflict.
Very well,
Vass snapped, pulling his hand away.
My best guess is they're at the island keep.
In Sambria?
Violet asked.
The enforcer stronghold? There is only one,
Vass said.
How sure are you? Brogan asked.
Nearly certain, Vass said. What if he's lying?
Jace asked.
Then I give him my word that he will suffer, Brogan said, and I'm not lying. Any revisions?
You now know what I strongly suspect, Vass said.
You were stalling, Brogan said.
I knew help might arrive, Vass said. Evidently it will not. Owendell is very busy right now. May I go?
What more do you know?
Brogan asked.
Broad question, Vass said. I can tell you what I believe. All of you will be dead before long, no matter what you do with me. You'll be fugitives from the Kryanese government and hunted by Owendell, not to mention his mentor.
You'll be coming with us until we can verify your claim, Brogan said.
Then perhaps you'll perish in Sambria rather than Creon, Vass said with a sniff. Holding me serves no purpose. I have nothing more you need.
I need your information to be correct, Brogan said soberly. Violet, open up!
With a flash, the perennial serpent appeared, head rearing up above thick coils as the hood flared wide. Off to one side stood a figure in a black cowled robe, the hood drawn up to conceal all features. Based on the description Cole had heard, he suspected it was the Ancient One. Brogan whirled and slashed, opening a long wound in the white scales along the nearest coil. The serpent struck at him and got stabbed in the snout, then vanished to reappear behind Violet. A large wayport opened between Violet and the overgrown snake, and Violet retreated toward Jace and Cole. Leaning around the wayport, Jace whipped the snake in the face with a golden rope, and Brogan raced around the other side to attack the serpent again. Coils writhing, the perennial serpent withdrew from the onslaught. Brogan pursued, and the snake disappeared again, only to materialize near Cole. The previous wayport closed, and Violet opened a new wayport,
once again blocking the serpent. Jace rushed around the wayport, sharply and relentlessly lashing at the snake's face. The serpent flinched jerkily away from the strikes, gradually retreating.
"Should we go?"
Violet asked. "Maybe we can take it," Cole said, encouraged by how both Brogan and Jace had managed to put the huge snake on the defensive. The perennial serpent vanished again and reappeared behind Brogan, striking immediately, huge mouth closing over the top of his shoulder before he could react. Brogan disappeared. A wayport opened in front of Cole.
"Go!"
Violet yelled, shoving him toward it. Jumping sword ready, Cole hesitated, but something tackled him from behind, carrying him through the wayport onto cool sand. A dazzling array of cold stars bejeweled the sky. Nearby crescents burned in front of a striped tent. Jace lay beside Cole, one arm wrapped around him. As Cole scrambled to his feet, the wayport closed. When it vanished, Cole lost his connection to Violet. Cole sprang forward to where the wayport had been. There was no evidence it had ever existed. Cole squeezed the hilt of the jumping sword as if trying to crush it. He wanted to leap farther than he ever had, but at what? Panting, he whirled to face Jace.
"We abandoned her," Cole said.
"I thought she would follow," Jace said. "She always comes last."
Cole slashed the jumping sword across the sand, sending up a gritty spray. He felt empty, sick, and helpless.
"They got her!"
"Who goes there?"
called a figure over by the tent.
"Us again," Jace called. "Is that you, Rennie?"
"Yes,"
the guard replied. "Do you know where this wayport opened from?" Cole asked. "The one we just came through?"
"I'm sorry, no,"
Rennie said.
"Can you figure it out?" Cole pressed.
"That's beyond my ability,"
Rennie said. Cole kicked the sand in frustration.
"We need to get back inside the fort," Jace said.
"I can help you there,"
Rennie said.
"Is your friend all right?"
Cole had fallen to his knees and was stabbing the sand repeatedly.
"We just lost some people," Jace said.
Cole threw his sword down and pressed his face against the cool sand. He squeezed the grains with his hands. It had happened so quickly. Brogan was gone. Violet had been stranded. Did the serpent bite her too? Or had she been taken prisoner? Cole sat up and brushed sand from his forehead and cheeks. He looked out at the dark desert beyond the firelight. There was nothing he could do. No way back to Violet. No way to restore Brogan. The fight was over. He was safe, and they were gone.
"We should get inside," Jace said.
"How do you sound so calm?" Cole complained. Jace shrugged.
"One of us should."
Cole picked up his sword.
"We could have stayed and fought."
"Not the way that snake was starting to move," Jace said. "Do you think you have better reflexes than Brogan? Violet did the right thing. She knew we had to go."
"You forced me to go," Cole said.
"Now you know how Mira feels,"
Jace said. Cole opened his mouth to reply, but nothing came out.
"You had to get away," Jace said. "You have to be there to fight Romaro, in case we get another chance at this, and in case we don't."
Cole bowed his head. Maybe this was only a possible future. Or maybe not.
Violet.
Brogan.
"I know,"
Jace said, putting a hand on his shoulder.
"What are we going to tell Elegance?"
"How bravely he protected us." Chapter 25. Empowerment.
"Alone?"
Elegance asked, tears shimmering in her slightly crazed eyes.
"What do you mean? Gone?"
"Brogan was bitten by the perennial serpent and he disappeared," Jace said. "The same thing happened to our friend Twitch.
He could have been sent far away. He could be dead. He fought so bravely.
Elegance gripped the back of a sofa to steady herself. I don't need to hear that. Of course he fought bravely. He always fought bravely. But he never fell.
It wasn't a fair fight, Jace said.
The snake, it was never a fair fight, Elegance interrupted. I'm sure he fared better than any man could have.
He got in some good shots, Jace said.
Elegance held up a hand to stop him. I was already sure of that. You're not certain he's dead?
No, Jace said.
Then he probably survived, Elegance said. I've thought of him dead several times over the years. Still, this is inconvenient and distressing. I need some time.
Can we just... Cole began.
Children,
Elegance said in a harder tone. Heed me. I need some time.
Come on,
Mira said, herding them out of the room into a different parlor. Rennie had brought them to Elegance, and she remained with them. Cole plopped down on an armchair. Jace looked disgruntled, pacing in silence.
What about Violet?
Mira asked.
She didn't make it back, Cole said.
The wayport closed before she came through. We don't know what happened to her.
That's terrible,
Mira said.
And it leaves us without a way to get around, Jace said. What if our rings signal us to go greet Romaro?
I'm sure Elegance will have solutions, Mira said.
If she ever speaks to us again, Jace grumbled.
The host is sympathetic to your cause,
Rennie said.
I expect he will assist as needed.
What do we do now? Cole asked. How do we make the most of our time?
Maybe we sleep, Mira said. At least for a few hours. Don't you want to be fresh if we have to go fight a Torvor?
Mentioning sleep somehow gave Cole permission to notice how tired he felt. His eyes were irritated and his throat was getting sore. When he closed his eyes experimentally, he did not want to open them. I could sleep right now, he said.
Not yet,
Elegance said, entering the room. Cole forced his eyes open. She looked refreshed.
What do we do if we get the signal to fight Romaro? Elegance asked.
We'll need a way to the far north cache, Mira said.
Ethel will take you, Elegance said. You may go, Rennie.
The guard exited.
Will Ethel know how to get around at the cache? Cole asked.
Lorenzo Debray showed Violet some secrets.
She won't know how to access the established conduits, Elegance said.
We can jump the fence, Jay said.
Will you be joining us?
Mira asked Elegance.
What would I do? Elegance asked.
The perennial serpent could be there, Mira said. Elegance clenched her jaw.
You see the irony that the distortion of my power may have killed my husband.
You have to stop it, if you can, Mira said. Elegance glanced at Cole and Jace.
Miracle Brogan was the fighter. He was the protector. How am I supposed to succeed where he failed?
All of your younger sisters have done it, Mira said.
You stand and fight.
Elegance looked at Cole and Jace again.
Perhaps you could give us a moment.
No, they're part of this, Mira said. Elegance flushed a little.
My power is gone. Completely gone. I'm not much use in a fight. How am I supposed to help? What if I just get in the way?
Are you sure your power is gone? Cole said.
Your sisters all started regaining some of their power as it left your father.
I'm aware, Elegance said. I have not had that experience. Mind if I check? Cole said. I've had some practice helping with powers. Mira nodded encouragingly.
Very well, Elegance said, holding out a hand. But don't scoff. I was once quite capable.
Cole took her hand and was mildly surprised to discover how empty she felt inside, emptier than anyone he had ever examined.
"Is it that bad?"
Elegance asked. Cole realized his concern was showing on his face. "Give me a second," he said, composing his expression. Exerting his power and searching hard, he found a dead spot at her center, like a spent lump of charcoal, the inert residue of previous power. "You feel burned out."
"I'm not surprised," Elegance said. "It haunts me."
"Can I try something?" Cole asked. Mira gave a reassuring nod.
"I suppose," Elegance said.
Cole began pouring his power into the inert spot. At first, it felt like shooting sparks at a dead piece of coal. No fuel remained to burn. As he maintained the pressure, the inert spot began to grow warm.
"I feel something,"
Elegance reported, startled. In the place that had been dead, Cole could now feel a faint glow of power that was not his own. Seizing that glow, Cole increased the intensity of his delivery, pushing with all he had, and the glow flared into a blaze. Cole released her hand and staggered back. He encountered a sofa and sat down hard. Elegance looked astonished.
"I feel it," she whispered. "I feel my power."
"It was so dim," Cole said. "I don't think our powers can ever be fully taken. Not completely. But you were about as close to losing yours as it gets."
"Do you think you can open a wayport now?"
Mira asked.
I think so," Elegance said. "It has been so long, but I can see again, see, far off." "Open a wayport," Mira urged.
"It will leave me unable to open another if we need it," Elegance said.
"Not with Cole around," Mira said.
Elegance looked to Cole.
"It should be fine," Cole said.
"When I woke up people's power in the Echo Lands, it didn't go out again. We won't know unless you try." Two wayports appeared on opposite sides of the room. Elegance smiled faintly.
"A waste of energy. This only goes from here to there."
The wayports vanished. "I'm still connected to you," Cole said, feeding her more power. Elegance raised her eyebrows.
"That is amazing. I feel like I could do it again."
"You could," Cole said. "Violet opened wayport after wayport with me helping. Just a little while ago, she opened three at the same time."
"No,"
Elegance said.
"She did,"
Cole assured her. "And she was using them as shields against the perennial serpent." "If you have an unlimited power supply, why not?" Elegance said.
"It must be taxing for you, Cole."
"Not too bad," he said.
"Have you found limits?"
Elegance asked.
"I feel strained sometimes," Cole said. "It takes concentration. But I haven't really found limits. I think I'm getting stronger."
"Everyone needs rest," Mira said. "You should sleep, Cole. We all should."
"Of course," Elegance said. "You must be exhausted. I'll have Ethel prepare beds for you."
"Good morning,"
Mira said brightly, startling Cole out of his sleep. He winced as she pulled the curtains aside and sunlight streamed into the previously gloomy bedroom. Remembering his circumstances, Cole glanced at his ring and felt relieved to see no signal.
"It's bright out," Cole said. "I didn't mean to sleep so long."
"I wanted you to sleep as long as possible," Mira replied. "The host is waiting at breakfast with the current Grand Shaper of Creon, Keslin Vador."
"The Grand Shaper?" Cole exclaimed, rolling out of bed. "Why didn't you get me?"
"She just arrived," Mira said. "And I am getting you." She walked out of the room. Despite receiving pajamas, Cole had slept in his clothes, so he only had to put on his socks and shoes. He had considered keeping his shoes on as well, in case the ring had awoken him with a call to action. Cole wondered if today would be the day. Maybe Kendo had erred on the side of caution. Maybe Romaro would not make an appearance until tomorrow. In a way, It would be nice to have it over with. Suspense could be terrible. But more time to prepare would also be nice, unless the only preparation was worrying. The prospect of meeting a new Grand Shaper gave him hope. In the past, Grand Shapers had played key roles in their victories. Cole found Jace waiting with Mira outside the door. They escorted him to a large dining room, where Elegance sat with the host and a woman in plain Wayminder robes. Cole would have guessed the woman was around 50, with pleasant features and her hair shaved down to short bristles. They all stood when the kids entered. "Cole," Elegance said, "you know the host. May I introduce Keslin Vador, Grand Shaper of Creon?" And then his ring vibrated. Looking down, Cole found it glowing. Mira's ring glowed as well, and Jace's. "It's time," Cole said.
"The Tordavor?"
Keslin asked. "Romaro," Cole said. "We have to go to the far north cache. He'll be free any minute. We have to stop him." A wayport appeared beside Cole as Keslin stood. Jace grabbed a muffin and bit into it. Cole figured it wasn't a bad idea and grabbed one, too.
"How long do we have?" Keslin asked.
"I'm not sure," Cole said. Elegance walked calmly to the wayport. She turned to face the host.
"Will you be joining us?"
The host offered a faltering smile.
"My post is here, protecting this stronghold."
He gestured at Keslin.
"You are in good hands."
Cole stepped through the wayport. The air was chilly. Jace, Mira, Elegance, and finally Keslin joined him. They stood just outside a tall metal fence topped with spikes. Beyond the fence, assembled curiosities vied for attention, including slot machines, a Viking longship, a cheap swing set, a wooden lifeguard tower, a pool table, a grass hut, a motorhome, a row of trash cans, and a large marble statue. Patches of snow clung to the ground, and frost whitened some surfaces, though enough warmth was creeping into the day that Cole thought it might burn off before long.
"No rampaging monster yet," Jay said, looking around.
"Can you take us inside?" Mira asked.
"It's heavily shielded," Keslin said. "I'm sure there are established conduits, but it would take time to fill them out."
"Cole," Jay said.
Cole touched Jace's golden rope and Mira's jumping sword.
"I can help the others over," Jay said.
"Let me try something," Cole said, stepping beside Elegance. "Grab hold of me."
"You're littler than I am," Elegance said.
"Just try," Cole insisted. She put her hands on his shoulders. Cole concentrated on his connection to the jumping sword. With his free hand on her wrist, he found his connection to Elegance's power. Then he tied the jumping sword into her as well as himself. He held out the sword.
"Away!"
He could feel that the sword required extra energy, so he pushed more power into the weapon as he sprang forward. Elegance rose with him over the fence. He did a little sword-assisted hop as he landed to offset the impact.
"How'd you do that?"
Mira shouted.
"He's got skills,"
Jace said, as he deposited Keslin over the fence using his rope. Mira jumped the fence with her sword. Jace launched himself over with the rope. A rumble came from deeper within the cache. The ground vibrated.
"I don't see Lorenzo," Mira said.
"I don't see anybody," Jace added.
"If he still has the pendant, he'll end up here," Cole said.
"Not Lorenzo Debré?" Keslin asked.
"Yeah," Cole said. "He's helping us." A more serious quake shook the ground, the rumbling becoming thunderous. Again, judging from the sound, the epicenter was farther into the cache. The tremor subsided.
"Hurry," Cole said, running toward the heart of the noise. "What are we going to do when Romaro comes?" Keslin asked.
"Fight him," Cole said.
"How?"
Keslin pursued. "With all we have," Cole said. Lesser rumbles came and went. The ground trembled.
"We don't generally run toward these kinds of sounds," Jace observed. "Should we hurry?"
Cole gave a nod and drew his jumping sword.
"Catch up," he said,
Then he pointed it forward and shouted, "Away!" He bounded through the air, then issued the command again when he landed, then again. Up and down he soared, with Mira just behind him to one side and Jace on the other. The cache was cluttered with diverse items, large and small, but it was also orderly, with lanes dividing the collection into a grid. Leaping along the lane, Cole focused on reaching the rumbling, only vaguely aware that he was passing an assortment of refrigerators from different eras, or a roller coaster, or an Asian temple, or a putting green, or an Easter Island moai. Before long, Cole reached an open square. The pendant floated at the center, the sphere glowing an intense white. He stopped jumping forward, and so did the others.
"Where is Lorenzo?" Cole asked, studying the empty area. "Wasn't he supposed to be getting a bunch of Grand Shapers?"
"Where is anybody?" Jace asked.
With a brilliant flash and a thunderous roar, the pendant shattered. Cole staggered as the ground shook. Returning his gaze to the center of the square, Cole found they were no longer alone. Chapter 26. Release. A figure stood in the center of the square, scary tall, at least 8 feet. An albino man with long white hair and a lean, powerful physique. A mirthless smile revealed a mouth full of serrated teeth, and his eyes were a blue so pale they were nearly transparent. His lavish robe hung open over a bare chest. Soft moccasins sheathed his feet. He held up a hand, his long fingernails flashing like mirrors. "Hello, Romaro," Cole said. The Torvor looked different from how Cole had ever seen him.
"Cole,"
Romaro answered, his penetrating voice audible to the ears, but also somehow piercing directly into the mind.
"Of course you are here, and two of your friends, and two I don't know coming along so slowly."
He gnashed his teeth, and suddenly Elegance and Keslin stood near Cole.
"The Grand Shaper, Keslin Vador, not even an old one, the incumbent. And Elegance, the eldest princess. This is it? Have you come to surrender?"
"We're here to stop you," Cole said.
"I don't like your weapons,"
Romaro said, waving a hand. The jumping swords and the golden rope turned to dust.
"This is insulting and embarrassing."
The perennial serpent appeared off to one side of the square. Beside the huge snake stood a man in a black, cowled robe. He threw back his hood, revealing himself as Owendell.
"Welcome, Master!"
"Owendell," Romaro said, "you brought a pet. You are otherwise alone?"
"I am here to learn your will,"
Owendell said.
"You are here unaccompanied in hopes of becoming my mouthpiece," Romaro said. "Clumsy and presumptuous, but you can be molded."
A wayport appeared on the other side of the square. Lorenzo de Bray emerged with a pair of other wayminders.
"Finally," Romaro said. "A few of the old guard. But where is Kendo?"
"Ah, he departed at last. A final gesture of cowardice." "Very well." He took a deep breath.
"I was held captive for a long time, uncomfortably long, and I'm eternal. Certain types of suspense do not exist in eternity. Well, as was inevitable, your prisons have failed, your chains have broken, your walls have crumbled. Is this to be a fight or a conversation? Who among you is ready to unconditionally surrender?"
"We hope to reason together," Lorenzo said.
Romaro's smile vanished.
"Reason? Now? Where was reason when I was banished to your afterlife? While I was incarcerated, we might have reasoned. A little, to pass the time. Now,